From the KCPW Danker Studios at Library Square, this is Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. I'm your host, Jason Mathis. The Utah Arts Festival starts today and runs through Sunday. This is the 38th year of the festival, and we'll be talking about the role that art plays in shaping Utah's urban center with my guests, Lisa Sewell, Executive Director of the Utah Arts Festival, and Toffer Horman, who has put together Fear No Film, a film festival devoted to the audiences of the Utah Arts Festival. We'll give you a preview of what to expect this year when it comes to performance art, visual art, culinary art, art for kids. There's really no end to the amount of art that you can consume and enjoy with your community in the downtown area during the Utah Arts Festival. All that after this news from the BBC. Welcome back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Joining me today are my two very dear friends, Lisa Sewell, the Executive Director of the Utah Arts Festival. Lisa, thanks for being here.
Oh, I'm very excited to be here.
You're very busy today.
Busy day.
And Toffer Horman, who does film for the Arts Festival, has also been a great partner with us on the EVE event that the Downtown Alliance throws every December 29th. 30th and 31st. Toffer, welcome.
Thank you, Jason. Thanks for having me.
So exciting. We love the Arts Festival downtown. It is beautiful. The signage looks great. There's a sense of enthusiasm and optimism and excitement in the air today as you guys get ready to kick off. Maybe let people know a little bit about what the Arts Festival is. If there's anyone out there who's never been to the Arts Festival, Lisa, what is the Utah Arts Festival?
Wow. Okay. In 30 seconds.
You can take as long as you want.
Good. Well, as you know, the festival is 38 years old this year, which is pretty amazing. In fact, yesterday I was wandering around the beautiful grounds of Washington and Library Square as we're setting up, just thinking it's so amazing that this city has this huge event.
For almost four decades.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Yeah. And across the country, there's not a lot that are doing what we do here in Salt Lake and what our community supports, which is really, I think, what the festival is all about, is just the community gathering together to enjoy the arts and to get together and enjoy each other's company and in a real casual, great atmosphere. And
Beautiful weather this week.
Yeah. Oh, it's just gorgeous. And I think the thing that I like about the festival is the fact that we are a multidisciplinary arts festival. And so if your bailiwick is the visual arts, you can come down and see the finest of the visual artists in this country. Mm-hmm. If you're into film, Toffer has put together an amazing film festival for people to come down and see short films for the 4 days. And about 65 film artists from all over the world, which is pretty incredible that we have that. Performing arts, we have 8 stages and venues for our performing artists that we've got. We've got some amazing headliners coming in this year. Angelique Kijo from Benin is performing tomorrow night, Friday. Chris Robinson, Brotherhood from Black Crows, is also tomorrow night. So just a wealth. And then an area for the children. We've got a big literary arts program area. We have an exhibition upstairs in the library. And we have visual arts workshops. So just
something for everyone.
There is.
Well, and Lisa, I have to pay you kind of a personal compliment, which happens frequently on my show because I only have people on this show who I like. The Arts Festival has really flourished under your leadership.
You've
been the executive director for
eight
years now, and it just seems to get bigger and better and more diverse and more inclusive. And you've just done really a magnificent job, I think, of bringing this fantastic arts collection together in the heart of our city to expose people to the art and also, as you said, to build community.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I really tried to do is add to the depth of each of the program areas. Mm-hmm. And my goal has always been that if you took away all of the pieces, but you only had the literary arts program or you only had the film component of the festival, that those programs are strong enough and have enough depths and legs beneath them that they could carry on as an event for the weekend.
Yeah.
There's enough going on with each of those areas. And then the other thing that I've been trying to do over the last 8 years, and we're still working on that, is to add more interactive elements for the non-artistic adult. Mm-hmm. So people, giving artistic opportunities for non-artists to come and take workshops and learn a little bit and connect with other artists in the community to maybe spark an interest that they might have. So that after the festival, they might like, you know, I took that watercolor thing, and now I'm going to go and check out the guild and get more involved in it. So, you know, we all got to play with the arts, at least my generation did when we were kids. And it seems like as an adult, there's not a lot of that.
Yeah, so. I think that's true. And it's, you know, so important to, I think, what makes a city vibrant and dynamic. Mm-hmm. We've been doing a lot of research at the Alliance trying to understand what has made cities successful in the past. Sometimes it's because they happen to be at the convergence of two rivers, or there was a strong manufacturing sector, or, you know, why was Detroit successful during the auto boom and not as successful now? And increasingly, art seems to be the one thing that can determine a community's success moving forward, which I think there's not always been that economic.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, so kudos to you for the urban development that you are doing through the Utah Arts
Festival.
Well,
you're very welcome.
Whether you knew it or not.
Nice to know that, that we're very valued in this community.
Yeah. Topher, let's talk a little bit about Fear No Film, the film festival. How many years have you been putting this festival together?
I think it's the 12th year of Fear No Film, and this might be my ninth.
Working on it. Mm-hmm. What are some of the highlights that people can expect this year with Fear No Film?
Fear No Film is really fun. Essentially, it means Fear No Filmmaker and Fear No Filmmaker Vision. Mm-hmm. And so what we're trying to do is essentially treat film like all the other art forms in the Greater Utah Arts Festival, where you always get to interact with the artists. You get to talk to the polished wood guy from Washington State and the pottery people and cheer and dance and sing along with at the stages, performing arts, etc. And film, we always try and make it's a solitary art form where it's usually just you sitting in a darkened theater admiring and critiquing the work of that filmmaker. And so we like to theme the screenings and put them in something in an interesting way where we're giving this very film savvy Utah audience a little bit of credit so they can interact with why did we choose these films, put them in this order, and put them in this particular screening. Mm-hmm. So this year's theme, this is the first time we've done this particular theme, is boundaries.
Okay.
All of the screenings are divided into different types of boundaries, say personal boundaries. Mm-hmm. I'm going to push your limits just a little bit and help you find where those boundaries might be that you have. Another is boundaries in relationships and identifying very different relationships and the boundaries that consist within those. Societal boundaries, artistic boundaries is one screening. Historical boundaries that, you know, what when you're watching the news, reading the headlines, you know, what are some of the boundaries that are happening and films about that. So that's what people can expect. It's a lot of
A lot of boundary pushing
and fun ways. I usually try and take everybody on an emotional tour in every screening. Each screening lasts about an hour and deliver them right back into the Utah Arts Festival.
Cool. And where do all the screenings happen? Are they all right here in the library?
Yes.
Okay.
They're in the Nancy Tessman Auditorium in the library. So as it gets hotter and hotter during the day, you know where to find air conditioning.
The screenings, yeah. Hey, that's a great motivator. Heat and cold is a good motivator.
Yes.
Before we go further, I do want to talk just a little bit about logistics for the Arts Festival. Mm-hmm. So let's talk location, pricing, hours of operation. If you're talking to your next door neighbor and they've never been to the Utah Arts Festival, what would you tell them about how to get here, how to park, how to find your way in, and all of those good things?
Okay, well, we are down at Library in Washington Squares, and they would take tracks or they would ride their bike.
Yes, good.
Would are both really great alternative ways to get down and save on our air quality in the city.
Yes.
So we do have a valet bike lot that's run by the bike collective. So they run that for us this year. And you get $2 off your ticket to the festival.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know
for
that.
Riding your bike. Yeah, just a kind of little reward.
How much does it cost if you don't ride your bike?
If you don't ride your bike and you come down today, Thursday, it's $10 for adults. Children that are 12 and under are free and have been since 95. For the festival. And just as a side note, that is because our community supports the Zoo Arts and Parks Fund.
Thank you, Zoo Arts and Parks.
Yeah.
We always like to say thanks to that
because
it makes a difference.
It makes a huge difference. We would not be able to continue to do that if we didn't have funding. So the community really helps support and sustain art for children and things like that by paying their taxes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's and the regular admission is $12. And then Thursday and Friday, we have from noon until 3, you can come down for and have a lunch down here, mm-hmm. and your admission is $6. And you can get a hand stamp on your way out, so you can go back to the office, home, come back that
So
that
like
night.
A lunch break sort of a thing on Thursday and Friday?
Yep, okay. From noon till 3.
Okay.
And regular admission is $10 on Thursday and then $12 on the rest of the weekend.
Okay, so $12 and then kids free?
12 and under
and
free.
And you got a lunch deal also?
Yeah, yeah.
That's so great.
A couple days you can come down and get lunch.
What do you think are the most popular aspects of the arts festival?
I think music for sure. I think that just really speaks to a lot of people, and it's easy for people to access different kinds of art on the stages.
Well, eight stages is tons.
Yeah,
and that's
great. Steve Doc Floor does he's a performing arts coordinator, and he just does an amazing job pulling that all together and making just everything run so smoothly. And then I think, especially this year, the years that we have an opportunity to bring in a large scale act, like last year we brought in Project Bandaloop,
right,
which was amazing. The dancers on the wall this year. We are bringing in Australia's Strange Fruit, and they performed in 2003, which I mentioned that it's interesting that when I tell people I work for the arts festival, they're like, oh yeah, I remember those guys that were on those sticks that were really up high and they were swinging back and forth. I'm like, that was in 2003.
Yeah,
but they still remember that.
Well, you have those, I mean, it's crazy. Have those little emotional connections to these experiences, these kind of shared experiences.
Yeah.
And whether you've gone to the Arts Festival 7 or 8 times between now and then, you still remember.
Right.
I remember I was probably 17 or 18 watching the Saliva Sisters perform.
Oh, wow.
You know, and yeah, so it's, you have those connections.
Exactly.
With your city and with other people that make an imprint in your brain.
And I think the thing, too, this year, which is interesting, is Doc was telling me that of the performing artists, the local bands that we book, it's all juried in. Mm-hmm. He thinks about 90% are new.
Really?
New artists, yeah. And
wow.
I said, well, as I was putting in their check payments, I had to create new accounts for all these people because they're new. So it's really nice to see that our community is vibrantly engaged with a lot of the performing arts and what's going on there musically. So a lot
That's
of new
great.
Musicians out there.
That's great. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk more about some of the visual artists, what people can expect. I know it's a huge source of revenue for some artists. We'll talk about why artists choose to participate in the Arts Festival, what they get out of it, and a little bit more about what you can expect when you come to the Utah Arts Festival that starts today here at Library Square in just a few hours. So we will be right back after these messages. We are back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. We talk on this program about the people, places, and events helping to shape Utah's urban center and the Utah Arts Festival that starts today here on Library and Washington Squares. Really encompasses all three of those things. It's people, it's places, and it's an amazing, magical event in downtown Salt Lake City that's been going on for 38 years now. So amazing. My guest today, Lisa Sewell, Executive Director of the Utah Arts Festival, and Toffer Horman. Toffer is in charge of Fear No Film at the Utah Arts Festival and produces a variety of other events through the calendar year here in downtown Salt Lake City. Lisa, I want to talk a little bit about kids in the festival. What are the reasons that children might choose to come to the Utah Arts Festival and bring their parents along with them?
We have an amazing art yard that Maggie Willis has been running now for, I don't know, probably another 12, 13 years.
I love Maggie.
Yeah, Maggie's
She's
amazing
great.
And a great artist. In fact, she has spent the earlier part of this week building cows and chickens and sheep.
Robots?
For the art yard this year. Her theme is art on the range.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's all about farm art.
Oh, very cool.
So then she invites a lot of nonprofit organizations to come down, and they spearhead hands-on projects for kids to work on as well, so that it's a lot of make and take.
Yeah.
So again, it's that interactive and opportunity for these kids to kind of get their hands dirty and play. And so there's some make and takes, and then there's the larger scale projects that she builds, like the cows and the chickens,
sure.
that they can collaborate on and work on together, so that it helps with that. Also in the art yard area, we have a stage, a performing arts stage, that is professionally managed by Matt
Ostachevsky.
Yes.
Ostachevsky.
Yes. And so Matt runs that stage for us, and we have a lot of youth programs
nice.
On that stage, so kids have an opportunity to perform for other children. And then my favorite area of the art yard, aside from the film, because there is a film program
for kids.
And for kids also,
yeah, mm-hmm.
around the world,
is the Summer Haze Music Petting Zoo. So you can do an instrument petting zoo and you get to learn to play something. And I got to learn how to play the French horn, which I always wanted to try. It was just so cool. And again, as an adult, I got to try an instrument and I've never played an instrument. So I think for a kid, for me just to go over there and watch kids in that art yard is just so cool. And just to see them, especially with those instruments, and just see them go, oh, a violin. I want to play a violin.
Yeah.
But maybe you want to talk about the film over there because that's kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. We have underneath a tent two screens, one with short films for ages 3 and up and one for ages 8 and up. And each one is about a half an hour long, and they just loop all through the day. So it's a good place to come take a break, actually, with your kids and just kind of chill a little bit because I don't really hold back, especially with the 8 and up. We really select films that are not talking down to kids.
Yeah.
You know, they're artistically very cool, but they're also exploring some interesting themes. I have a jury of kids that's led – the jury is led by my own three kids.
Nice.
Ages 9, 8 as of today. Happy birthday, Theodore. And 4. So they all have very, very good critical eyes, and they're very interested, and then we start passing them through other kids. We've got kids' films chosen by children.
Very cool. Very cool. I think that interactive component is really valuable. And even I think when you're buying art, when you're walking through the vendors, it's different than buying art online. Maybe people buy art online, or they go to a gallery, which is nothing wrong with galleries. Galleries are great, but you don't always get to talk to the artist.
Right.
In this case, you really get to talk to the people who are either making something that's a craft, making something that's fine art. Maybe if we could talk just a little about what people can expect when they come to see the visual arts that are presented.
So within the visual arts program of the festival, we have probably about 12 different mediums that are represented. Everything from ceramics to jewelry, fiber, watercolor, drawing, pastels, oils. So soup to nuts in terms of the different genres and mediums of art that are available. And yes, all of the artists are working artists, and they must be present in their booths to be at the arts festival. And they retain 100% of their proceeds, so we don't take a cut of their sales.
Yeah.
And they really do have an opportunity to talk to the patrons about their artwork and how they create. And, you know, it's really that one-on-one. I mean, you go into a booth and you meet an artist, and then when you leave with a piece of art, whether it's a jewelry or a painting or something like that, it has a different meaning because you've had that interaction, with that artist. And that artist becomes part of that for you. And so when you take it home, you're always remembering the larger story. It wasn't just like, I saw that at the jewelry store.
Right.
I picked it up.
Right.
So it's challenging, I think, for a lot of artists because, you think of artists and a lot of them are working in studios and things like that. And if they don't have the type of personality they can put themselves out there and sell, it's a little bit more difficult and a little bit more challenging.
I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about the headliners because I do think that is such a draw for so many people to come down and have that kind of an experience with so many of the performing artists that you have. Maybe if you could just spend a little bit of time talking about the different headliners that you've got coming in this year.
One of the things that Doc really does is he pulls together, again, a variety of headliners that speak to different genres of music. So we'll usually have a blues night. So, for instance, Thursday tonight, Cece James will be opening for Anna Popovac. And Cece James, I created this Spotify music thing on my
advance.
In advance, because I thought, I don't know some of these artists, I don't know, and I wanted to get to know their music. And as I was working, all of a sudden this singer came on, and I thought, I have Janis Joplin? Joplin's in my mix?
Yeah. Janis Joplin's coming to the Art Festival?
Exactly.
Breaking news.
Wow. So all of a sudden, I was like, so I look on Spotify, and it's like Cece James. I go, holy smokes, what an amazing voice. So I'm really excited to see her perform. I think she's going to be amazing. And then, of course, Angelique Kidjo, we brought her to the festival in 2007 when it was my first year as a director. And she was just amazing. She's when Doc and I were talking about it, and he said, she's like one of the top number one selling artists in the world, but people in the United States don't really know much about her.
Yeah.
But in Europe and in Africa, she's like, she's like the queen of world music, and she's just got this charismatic personality, and she always brings the kids up on the stage.
Oh, nice.
And she's just amazing. She just came out with a new autobiography that just really talks about her role and what she's been doing for the women in Africa and stuff.
And so, I'm sorry, you may have said it, but I didn't catch it. What night is she performing?
She is performing Friday night.
Friday night. Okay.
Yep, on the festival stage. And then, unfortunately, right next across from her on the amphitheater stage.
Same time.
Yes. So luckily, I know these secret get around from one stage to the next super fast, is Chris Robinson Brotherhood. And, of course, he's a lead singer from the Black Crowes. And I've been listening to his new CDs, and they're just pretty amazing. Just kind of like that Americana rock.
Yeah.
It's just great.
Yeah.
So, and then another one that we're bringing in for a couple of days, which this year we're bringing in some national headliners that are going to be performing more than one day.
Oh, nice.
So Peter Harper and Midwest Kind and March 4th Marching Band. So March 4th Marching Band is sort of like Burning Man meets a marching band. That's kind of how I think of these guys.
Nice.
There's like 25 of them, and they're going to be roaming around the site Friday and Saturday, and then performing. Actually, sorry, I lied. Saturday and Sunday, and then performing Sunday night on the amphitheater stage. And then Peter Harper plays the didgeridoo, which I'm like, all right, a didgeridoo,
right.
Really, Doc?
Right.
And again, I was listening to his music, and he sounds like Blues Travelers.
Wow.
Because he uses the didgeridoo like more like as a bass note.
Oh, interesting.
And so as opposed to like the primary instrument. So you hear all his harmonica that he plays, and then there's this kind of deeper tonal voice underneath.
Aboriginal sort of.
Yeah. And
cool.
So he's going to be performing in the Children's Art Yard
as a
headliner.
Oh, very cool.
So that's going to be very cool for us.
So really something for everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, the Arts Festival.
Even though that's such a trite statement.
It is a trite statement, but in this case, it really is true. I mean, you've gone to great lengths to find something interesting and compelling, and I hope that when people come down, they may be attracted for one type of art. Maybe, you know, maybe they saw some Buddha faces that they want for their garden last year, and they want to come back and get it. But it's great because what you do is really expose people to a variety of different kinds of art at the Arts Festival.
So again, I think the thing that we have is an opportunity for, through urban arts, we try to reach those 20, 25-year-old kids. And now the makers community reaches a very different demographic in terms of a bunch of people that are very interested in the electronic side of the world and the whole STEAM and STEM with the arts community and how technology and computer circuitry can delve into the artistic side of the equation. And so we're going to explore that over the next few years and ride that tide for a while.
Well, very thoughtful programming, so careful in your curation. You do such a great job of really bringing the community together, which is something the Downtown Alliance really cares about. So thank you for doing the Utah Arts Festival. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. You've been listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW, a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. Please plan to attend the Utah Arts Festival. It starts today and runs through Sunday here at Library Square and Washington Square. I promise you will have an amazing experience getting to know art, getting to know your community, building relationships with friends and family.